We're going to try to make this super quick. I'm aiming for all of these to be less than 10 minutes, and I want this to be a discussion with you guys. So if you have questions as we go through, or you're like, hey, what about this? Feel free to ask me, because we just want to keep it open and fun and light. So today we are going to start at kind of the base. We're going to look at common deficiencies, and then we're going to jump a little bit into mindful eating at the end. It's going to be short and sweet, and then yeah, every week we'll build on it and get a little bit more specific. So first up, we're going to look at deficiencies. So most people are deficient in water, vegetables, and then omega-3 fatty acids. So first up, water. It is important because it regulates your body temperature, it eliminates waste, it helps your metabolism function properly, it helps with digestion, it transports nutrients around your body, and it maintains a steady rate of fat metabolism. So if you're not getting enough water, but you're exercising a lot, you might not see the results you want because your organs are all dehydrated and they're kind of in like maintenance mode. They're just trying to do what they can to get by. Let's see what else I got here in my notes, if my mouse will work. Shoot, sorry guys. So the general recommendation is to have about 1/2 ounce to 1 ounce of water per day, but you don't have to drink all of your water. Okay, I lost my notes. Whatever, I'll just go for it.
You're an expert at it.
I'll just go for it. So you don't have to just drink all of that water if you feel like you can't get that much in you. So you can eat your water as well. So things like cantaloupes, pineapples, watermelon, fruits and stuff like that, they're all about 90% water. So if you're eating lots of those things, you're still getting water into your system. Vegetables like spinach, greens, broccoli, they're super high in water too, over 90%. If you're interested in any of those, if you just type into Google which vegetables are high in water, it'll pop up for you. So how to tell if you're dehydrated or not. If you are feeling thirsty, like for example, I'm feeling a little thirsty right now, that's a sign that I'm already dehydrated and I need to go and drink some more water. Another way to check it is kind of awkward. I'm not gonna have you guys tell me how your urine color is looking right now, but if you go to the bathroom and your urine is very dark, that's a sign that you're dehydrated. And if it's clear or very light, then you're doing perfect. Okay, and the more you drink water, the more you start taking in, your body will get used to holding on to more water. So you will go to the bathroom less and less the water you have, I promise. All right, next deficiency is vegetables. So you should be aiming to have 7 to 10 servings of vegetables per day. And I know that can seem like a lot, so you can make it a goal to have anywhere from 1 to 2 servings of vegetables per meal or per snack or just during the day. Just get them in you as often as you can. So having fresh, unprocessed veggies will help you reach your vitamin and your mineral needs as well, which is something that almost all of us are deficient in to some degree. There hasn't been a ton of success with using a multivitamin to help restore these vitamin and mineral levels. You can if you want to, if your doctor tells you to, absolutely, but you do not have to. If you're having fresh fruits and veggies and you're having your protein and all that kind of stuff, you're going to be hitting those limits or those ideal goals. Yeah, question.
Mushrooms. Mm-hmm. I feel the need to talk about this.
Yes, absolutely.
So I've been I was like, mushrooms are high in protein, fantastic. I'm going to throw them in my salads. I'm going to eat them whenever I can. And then I hear from Jenna, from you, that raw mushrooms are actually, like, don't really do that much for you.
Yeah, so the cell membrane of mushrooms, they have to be broken down or they have to be cooked for them to be able to release their nutrients to you. Otherwise, your body cannot permeate the cell wall. And they're useless.
There goes all that effort.
I know. But if you cook your mushrooms, then the nutrients will be released. And they are really good.
Like, gets nutrients from cooking.
Yeah, well, a lot of them, if you...
Yeah, I thought they lose nutrients when you cook them.
I think every other vegetable probably.
I'm not 100% sure about which vegetables. I know that if you cook them, then your body can digest them better. So if you get bloated when you eat raw veggies, you need to cook it because then your body can digest it with greater ease.
Oh.
So yeah, and some vegetables, like my husband, he'll eat broccoli and he'll get bloated, whereas I can eat it and I'm totally fine. It just depends on the person and the type of vegetable. So
would you recommend then always cooking your vegetables?
I'd say, like, yeah, if you don't know which vegetables cause your bloat, or you're more likely to eat them if you cook them and like sprinkle some curry powder on there or something, then absolutely, if those help them taste better, go for it. I cook almost all my vegetables except for like bell peppers. Love those things.
Okay, but is it true that if you microwave them, you lose more nutrients? Microwave kills the nutrients as
you're
opposed
microwaving
to...
I gotta be honest, I have not read any research on microwaving veggies, so I'd have to look at that
question.
One. Okay. Yeah, no, I'll definitely look into that and I'll post it when we post this for Monday.
Is that like
for Monday.
You reheat?
Yeah, just curious, because there's been so much controversy over microwaving kills all the nutrients and everything.
Hmm.
I mean, we only steam them, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But is it true?
Yeah, let's look into that. I'll make a note of that, and we'll get to the bottom of it. It's a good question. Okay, let's see. Where am I here?
You off now.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. This is why I have notes. Yeah, so just back to vitamins and minerals. We all know how important they are, but just to list off a few of their benefits, they heal your wounds, they strengthen your bones, they boost your immune system, they can repair cellular damage due to oxidative stress, so if you have high cortisol levels or anything like that, or you have trauma, they help repair that, and they convert food and stored energy into fuel. So if you're exercising, it'll start to pull fat from your fat cells and use it as energy, so... Vitamins and minerals are good, you guys. And just one note, because this comes up with a lot of people, dried fruits and veggies do not. Like, they're full of natural sugars, but a lot of the nutrients are stripped away when they're dehydrated, so.
What about frozen? Because I buy that riced cauliflower.
Okay.
And it's frozen, and it's just vegetables. There's no additives.
Yeah,
or
I don't
nothing.
See why there's anything, why there would be anything wrong with that. I use frozen blueberries all the time.
I use frozen fruit.
Yeah, like I'll buy fresh fruit and freeze it. Same with my veggies. If it's going bad, I'll freeze it. So.
They say that in the winter, it's actually better to buy frozen sometimes just because the crops aren't as healthy.
Totally. Yeah, because it's out of season and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, naturally occurring.
Yeah.
Okay, and the last deficiency we're going to look at are omega-3 fatty acids. So there's no general recommendation for how much you should be having because, I mean, if you have a traumatic brain injury, you need higher levels of omega-3s. If you have rheumatoid arthritis, you need higher levels. But the general consensus from dietitians and doctors is that you can be having anywhere from 600 to 1200 milligrams of omega-3s per day, so of the EPAs and the DHAs. So those are the long-chain fatty acids within the omega-3s.
600 to 1,200 is what you said?
Yeah, so anywhere in there. I mean, if your doctor tells you to do something different, absolutely follow their recommendations because I'm not a doctor.
So
how much
just,
would that be?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, say a piece of salmon, for example. Like,
ooh, I don't know how much is in a piece of salmon. But I know that, like, most people supplement with an omega-3, and most supplements do have somewhere from the 600 to the 1,200 milligrams. I will look into that as well.
And is that okay? Because I do take a supplement every day.
Oh, absolutely. There are a few things.
I don't eat meat or eggs, so what do you recommend for me?
Nuts.
Okay.
Yeah, so some other foods
nuts
that have it are...
omega-3 vitamins.
Flax seeds, walnuts, soybeans, and then dairy products from grass-fed animals. They're really high in omega-3s as well.
Okay.
So if you're looking for a supplement, you want to look for something that's pharmaceutical grade or molecularly distilled or ultra purified. And you want things that are from small wild caught fish, so like anchovies, sardines, even salmon is good too because it's really high in them. And you want to look for high concentrations of the EPA and the DHA in them. I will post the notes to this online. Or you guys can listen to this again on Monday. Just hear my
podcast voice.
Going off of that with the supplements, a lot of supplements also include omega-6s and 9s, and you do not want those in your supplements because they're pro-inflammatory, and our North American diet has them in it already. It's not a bad thing. You do need omega-6s and 9s in your diet, but we get those just from the processed foods that we eat, and if you eat packaged foods, you naturally get those, so there's no need to supplement with them because you're just adding them all in.
So make sure it's just a 3.
It's just a 3, yeah. All right, and then really quick, let's just go into the benefits of omega-3s, even though you guys can already see it there. So they are anti-inflammatory, so that's great. If you have any inflammatory issues or if you're having stress on your body, they're going to help with that. They are great for your eye and your brain health. They alleviate depression symptoms, can boost your immune system, and they decrease your risk of heart disease. So
I need to eat more fish.
How can you guys go wrong with that? Yeah, so you can get it, listed some of the non-protein ways, but yeah, fish like salmon, tuna, mackerel, trout, and sardines are full of it. You can get it from eggs and, like the flax seeds, the walnuts, all kind of stuff, too. Okay, all right. And the last little bit we're going to go into is talking about mindfulness with your eating. So, Kate, you love this, right?
Yeah.
Kate's been teaching me a lot about this, too. So I find that the best way that works for people is reaching a place of 80% fullness when you're eating your meal. So this is about listening to your body, figuring out if it's hungry, if you're comfortably full, which is that 80%, or if you are overfull. So a good way to measure this 80% fullness is that you're sitting there and you feel like you could still go for a walk with the food that's in your stomach. Because, I mean, how many of us have had, like, a really good meal and you're like, I couldn't possibly. I need to fall asleep on the couch right now. Like, I got, like, the biggest food.
Comatose.
Exactly, yeah. So you don't want to get to that stage. You want to be able to be like, okay, I'm full. I'm not hungry anymore. And even if there's food left on your plate, package it up, put it in the fridge because you might get hungry later. And when your body's hungry, it needs fuel. So you can go and grab that then and finish off your dinner. So some ways to practice mindfulness at your meals, take away distractions. So turn off the TV, stop reading a book, talk to the people around you. Kate had a really good one. She puts down her fork after every single bite, and that's been fantastic, right?
Amazing. I have never, ever left food on my plate. I will just eat whatever's there, honestly. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put my knife and fork down, finish what's in my mouth. Once that's done, then I can reload my fork. First time I did it, I only ate I could only fit in 3/4 of my dinner in my stomach. I was full.
Because it just slower.
Takes yeah. you that long that your body realizes it's full.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
you instead don't just suddenly like go,
getting it in, yeah.
oh, I'm
yeah.
stuffed. You know, it's such a good
I use chopsticks.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because I am a fast eater. Always was. I was always the first one finished. So yeah. I use chopsticks.
Oh, that's so smart. You have
to try and fight for your food.
Yeah. Near the end, it's really hard.
And I'm like, I want to watch the
I can't do it. I can't get that. No.
I just like stab it.
But, no, they're really good. But both of those, they're really good techniques because you don't have to stop yourself. Like, you're not saying, oh, I'll put less on my plate or I'll, you know, you're still full. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not depriving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're still full and you feel satisfied. So that's what I like.
I drink lots of water with dinner and that seems to fill me up too.
Oh, yeah. Well, getting stuff in your stomach.
Yeah.
And there's just a couple more things I have on here. So you can also slow yourself or pace yourself with the slowest eater at the table. So if you're eating with kids eat remarkably slow.
Are you kidding me? So, my kid eats faster than I do.
Oh, really? I like eat with my cousins and I'm like,
she
can
eats
we leave
more
now?
Than I do too. She'll go back for seconds and thirds and I'm like, where
Gosh.
Are you putting it?
And then, so just two other strategies I have are using a smaller plate. So usually you'd use the big dinner plate, just use a smaller plate, you'll take less.
Mm-hmm.
And then don't put food on the kitchen table. Leave it in the kitchen so you have to get up. If you want to go get seconds, you can't just be like, that was good, let me get
yeah.
some more here.
I don't even notice what I'm like, I'll just take another piece of.
Yeah, just one more. Okay, one
yeah.
more. Yeah.
You don't even notice, it doesn't even go on the plate.
Yeah, straight to your mouth.
Yeah. I only have one course.
But that's all I have for you guys. Are there any questions based off of these? Or
I find that hard to pinpoint.
It is.
Sometimes it's in your mind because there have been times when I know I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
But that's
me yesterday.
I can feel hungry.
That's
yeah.
been me the last
yeah.
3 weeks with not smoking is the constant need to do something and I find myself eating stuff.
Yeah. This will take practice. To establish this, it's going to take time. It's going to take a lot of you guys being rational about the choices that you're making and how much food you're eating. But the more you practice it, it will eventually just become second nature that you're going to get to that stage of comfortable fullness and you're going to be like, oh, I'm done. Or you're going to maybe wake up in the morning and not eat breakfast right away because you're not hungry yet. You're going to wait until you're hungry. But just practice it. Don't beat yourself up if you...
Is there an order in which you should eat your food? Like, should you always have, like, your protein first? Like, or does it not matter? Will your body still take out the nutrients it needs anyways?
I don't think that there's a big... Like, I don't think it's a big deal to...
Okay.
Yeah. Control the order of the food. I mean, personally, I always eat my protein and my veggies first.
Yeah.
Because if I get full, I want to fill up on the good stuff that's
yeah,
going to be
exactly.
feeding my body.
Yeah.
So
that's why you have dessert first.
Solve that problem.
I mean, yes, I always just look at that.
Okay.
Yeah, carbs exit your stomach fat or fast and first, and then protein and fats take a little bit more time to digest.
I always
kind of
thought, like, okay, if I put the protein in first, then my body's going to use the protein, and then, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, maybe mine's just bored.
I mean, if you're just having protein, then
yeah,
your body's going to use that as fuel, but yeah, if you're eating carbs, protein, and fats at a meal, carbs are going to be digested first because they exit your stomach quickly. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about how long, like, how many meals should you be having? How long in between? How long before you go to bed should you not eat? This is all stuff that's been talked about lately.
Yes. Okay, so let's go back to the first one on how many meals. It's all personal preference, and it's my favorite answer, which is it depends. So if you need to be eating 4 meals a day to meet your energy requirements, then you need to eat 4 meals a day. Maybe you need to eat 6, or you just need to eat 3. It really depends on what works for your schedule and your lifestyle. And then, sorry, what was the...
Eating before bed.
Eating before bed.
Yeah.
So what's your concern with that? That you're...
Well, I don't know. Well, you know,
You're just taught not to.
Okay. Yeah, I know a lot of people are taught...
And they have the new thing that you don't eat for 12 hours.
Oh, so that's like intermittent fasting.
Yeah, and I can't. Yeah. I can't.
Isn't that bad for your... I heard that it was bad for women to do that for their hormone levels.
I haven't heard that. Okay. I'm not sure. You guys have such good questions. We're doing so much research.
12 hours without eating.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would die. I need to sleep that time.
It works for some people, but it's not sustainable. It's not something you can do for your life. So if you're trying to like hit a certain goal, then some athletes will do it. Or if you're trying to get like to a certain, like if you're doing like bodybuilding, for example, you might do it to reach those goals. And then once you're done and you've reached that goal, you go back to normal because you cannot sustain that. So if you don't have like any big performance goals, I don't see why you would, but then again, it's all personal preference. As far as eating before bed goes, if you eat an hour before you go to bed, when you wake up, your stomach might feel bigger. That's because there's food still in your stomach that is still digesting.
It doesn't digest while you sleep?
It does, but things like fats and proteins takes longer to digest. Can take up to like fats can sometimes take up to 8 hours to digest and leave your stomach. So it's still gonna be there, and you're not moving around helping that digestive process. Your body's kind of going into like maintenance as it's sleeping. It's trying to repair itself. It's not fat. If you eat an hour before bed, you go to bed, you wake up, you feel a bit bigger, it's not fat. The only way you can gain fat is if you're in a caloric surplus. So I think I did a post on this a few weeks ago. Penny's like, yeah. So just keep that in mind. Be rational with yourself. And if you are in a caloric surplus, then yes, you will gain fat. But if you're still hitting under or meeting your calorie or energy expenditure per day, then you're going to be fine. Doesn't matter what time of the day you eat. Yeah. Does that kind of answer? Okay. Any other questions, you guys? No? Mm-hmm. All right. We're golden. Way to go, you guys.
Thanks
for the discussion. That was great.
I'm going to find out your next one.
Yeah.